You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We now want to call Paul. Let's do that.
Need the latest news and analysis on your green and gold? Well, we better call Paul.
Paul Emig, our green and gold analyst, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Paul, how you doing?
Bill, doing well. How are you?
What'd you take away from last night?
Oh, wow. Lots of things. I thought a lot of young players shined. But let's start with the ace story, because I do want to talk about Kadar Holm. I do want to talk about Ty Summers. I do want to talk about Kiki Kingsley and Jameron Moore's struggles and, you know, everything else that happened last night. But I think the ace story is, you know, Kaiser playing the entire first half, trying to figure out if not only is he the backup, but how did the Matt LaFleur offense look with him running it on the first pass through. And Bill, from the LaFleur offense perspective, the tempo was pretty good. I mean, I told you earlier in the week that I didn't have high expectations for, you know, for a first-time, you know, preseason game, especially when it wasn't Rodgers running the offense. And I thought it had a really nice flow to it. Now, Kaiser was up and down, which I think is the best description of DeShone Kizer's career to this point, is up and down. I mean, he's high draft pick of Cleveland, has, you know, an 0-for season, gets traded to Green Bay, didn't exactly look good, and I think that's putting it nicely in his moments, you know, as a first-year Packer. And then last night was hit and miss. But, I tried to ask myself in essence, like, did last night, you know, make me feel any better about him or not? And I don't know. I think I kind of feel the same way I did, which is if you can find an upgrade, you do it. But you're also, you know, in a position where he looked okay. Like, you know, it was against a second-string defense, and it was – with second-string offensive linemen for the most part, except for Lane Taylor. It was a second-string wide receivers for the most part without Geronimo Allison. You know, but I thought he looked pretty good. Let me restate that. I think he looked okay. I think he looked fine. I think he looked passable. And I think my first blush with LaFleur's offense was that I was surprised it was as far ahead from a tempo perspective as what it actually was, given that it was not the starting offense, given that it was his first time running it in Green Bay.
The DeShone Kizer that last night, you're right, it was up and down. He had a couple of passes that were high, that were off. He had a couple of passes right on the money, some good zip on the ball. I thought he had a drop, at least one that I counted from Jamon Moore. He did a nice job scrambling last night. He was quick to get out of the pocket, though. I mean, the minute he felt pressure, he was taken off. He wasn't kind of hanging in there, and that's the difference between him and Boyle. Now, Boyle doesn't have the same athletic ability that DeShone Kizer does, so it's natural for him to want to get out and run. But I thought later in the second quarter, when he engineered that touchdown drive, that was probably as good that we've seen out of DeShone Kizer since he became a Green Bay Packer. Would you agree?
Yeah, and I think that's what he needed. I mean, he needed that feel-good drive going into halftime, knowing that was going to be his, you know, his curtain call for the night, that he was going to be Boyle coming out in the second half most likely, if that was LaFleur's plan all along. And, again, we're talking about a second-string quarterback with second-string offense against second-string, third-string defense. So you have to be cautious with how much you learn and how much you glean from it. But given the situation, I mean, you know, he looked passable. And I think what could have been I think if last night had been a disaster, Bill, you know, you probably would have had extremely active phone lines. I think Brian Gutekunst would have had extremely active phone lines in the sense that he would be starting to peek more closely around the league to see if, you know, quarterback X, Y, or Z is going to get cut. But it wasn't a disastrous night. It was a passable night. It was a hold-your-roster-spot night. It wasn't a type of thing where you're going to start asking the next day, you know, should Boyle be the number two heading into the second preseason game? It wasn't that. You know, he was passable. He was a solid B-minus, and I think that's maybe at or above the expectations that I had for him, given the circumstances of it being LaFleur's first time, of it being a bunch of backups. So, yeah, I mean, I guess you can live with a B-minus, C-plus type of night from your backup QB, right?
What did you think of Boyle? Because and let me ask you this. I'll just ask your perception of Boyle, and then I'll give you mine and see if we agree.
Yeah, I mean, you know there's going to be more limits to what he can do compared to Kizer. You're going to have to rely, I think, more on the offensive flow, on the tempo, on the quick hitters, because it's just not going to have the same ability to extend. I think he has a place in this league. I don't think right now there's anybody on the roster that, And I mean, Bill, this can be said for most NFL teams, but you know, if you lose your starting quarterback, of course you're going to take a huge fall down. But I mean, do I feel comfortable with Boyle or Kizer right now? I mean, no, but I would feel more comfortable with Kizer, I think, just because of his much. I mean, it's less history in the league, but it's not much history in the league, I should say. But it's more than what Boyle has. I think he's a fine project, Bill. But if Boyle's the number two and not the number three, I feel a lot less confident about, at this stage in his career, Boyle being a two. But hey, a year from now, 2 years from now, if he can, you know, if the Packers keep three quarterbacks, or if he's a practice squad, if they can get him through to that, you know, I think he's a good development project. I just, you know, I'm not ready to say he should be the number two over Kizer. So where are you at with it?
I think that when I look at Boyle, he's got, and Mike Clemens and I were talking about this last night, he's got something. I don't know what it is. He's got a, I don't know if it's just he stands a little taller, his chest is out a little bit more, there's more of a leadership quality. He's got something, because when he felt the pressure, and then again, we're talking about two different quarterbacks with scrambling capability, but when he felt the pressure, he just stood tall. He stood tall and waited for the play to kind of, you know, develop, and then threw to the mark. And last night, we had not seen last season a quarterback, specifically Aaron Rodgers, but not really any quarterback, throw to the mark and let the receivers do the work. And last night we saw that, specifically more so out of Tim Boyle. So I was impressed with the way he kind of commanded the offense, the way he kind of engineered certain things. But then again, I mean, you can't ask for a much better night, 3 of 5 with 2 touchdowns. I mean, come on, you know. But the pass that he delivered to Lazard, I thought, was a rifle. I mean, he just reared back and let one go. So I was impressed with the way he kind of commanded things.
Yeah, no, I mean, again, I think he's a good project to continue developing. I don't think there's I don't know if LaFleur and Gutekunst would keep three quarterbacks. I don't know if they feel like Kizer should even be the backup. But Boyle is not, you know, at this point, Bill, it's like there are times where you see a number three QB or a number four QB, and you're just like, this guy doesn't have it. You know, this isn't going to work. But I felt similarly in a different way, but I felt similarly a couple years ago about Taysom Hill, where I was like, oh, like, you cut him. Okay, I figured you'd keep him on the 53 as the number three quarterback. As we've seen since he's been a New Orleans Saint, he's contributed on special teams. Like, he has more of a role outside of just being a quarterback, which is unique, but Taysom Hill is kind of a unique experiment, a unique situation. There are times like that where you kind of feel about a number three QB, this is worth developing, this is worth keeping, this is worth, you know, investing in the project. And Boyle is in that category for me. And I don't think there's been a lot of young quarterbacks throughout the past 10 years where I felt like, yeah, this is a guy worth keeping around to develop. But I think we feel similarly. I think it's just a differentiation between a guy worth developing versus, you know, a guy who I would want starting a week 6 game in an emergency because Rodgers, you know, had an ankle or something. So yeah, no, I think he's, like I said, worth to continue developing. I think that's for sure.
Hey, I want to ask you, defensively speaking, last night, tackling wasn't great, and that seemed to be an area of sore discussion when it came to Twitter specifically, and some of the phone calls last night. But on the other hand, we did see anticipatory interceptions. We saw Raven Green concentrate on stripping the football, and they ended up getting a fumble last night, something we have not seen out of this team in a long, long time. So I guess on one hand, you're going to take the good with the bad, but it is a little disconcerting to watch a team go up and down the field on you and a lot of guys just throwing their bodies out there and not really wrapping up. We didn't see great tackling last night.
Yeah, so, Bill, I don't make a ton out of tackling at this stage, mostly just because they haven't – and this isn't – you're not to the point where you're practicing that yet. And I know the way that sounds. Like, it sounds crazy. Like, wait, this is professional football and they're not practicing tackling – It is what it is, right? Like, it's just, it's different than it was, you know, when Leroy Butler was leading the Packers defense in the 90s. This is just, you know, there's no 2-a-days, there's much less hitting, there's much less practice tackling. Even when you do practice tackling, a lot of times it's with tackling dummies and, you know, airbags and whatnot, airbags, but, you know, like little pop-up bags and things like that. But so it doesn't, I mean, it sucks to watch. You don't want to watch professional defensive football players not tackle well, but for me, it's the expectation is that it's not going to go well. I do want to say, though, about the defense, what I was encouraged by, Bill, is that you started to see really late draft picks, sixth rounders like Summers, like Holman, like Kingsley, flash. really, really flash. Like when I mean, it only took a play or two of Summers out there at inside linebacker to say, like, whoa, like, he's got, like, you know, he ran like a 4 or 5 at the combine, but there's a difference between that and game speed and play speed. And when I saw him flying sideline to sideline and chasing down Joe Webb, I was like, oh my gosh, like, this is a player, man. And then when Holman had the interception, you say, yeah, bad throw, but he anticipated. I mean, how many Packers corners over the past couple decades would that have just been a knockdown? It wasn't. It was an interception. And I think that's a huge credit to that. So in a game in which you had 26 Packers not dressed, right? I mean, an astronomical number. It's practically one-third of your 90-man roster not dressed. And you know you're going to be watching a bunch of late-round picks, a bunch of undrafted players. When you can see true flashes like that, I think that's the most you can possibly hope to get out of a preseason game. So, you know, will these guys turn into, you know, regular contributors? Will they turn into starters? A long way to go for that. But when you see late-round picks really flash like that, Bill, which I did last night, I think it's incredibly impressive and a good first step, to be certain.
It also adds a lot of depth to your special teams once all your regulars get going. So, yeah, no, I agree. Paul, good stuff, and we'll talk again next week, okay?
Sounds great, Bill. See you, man.
All right, pal. There you go. That's Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us here for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. They work hard, and you work hard. So, therefore, they treat you fair. That's the way it gets done over there at Schneider. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com. SchneiderJobs.com, or just call them 844-PRIDE.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.